Play the music.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome back to The Table.
A podcast where confusion is not an option.
That's true.
We can't afford confusion.
Right. It is. God is not the author of confusion.
Ooh, ha.
Hey.
Hey. Glad. We're preaching now.
Hey. I'm Tyler.
I'm Cody.
And we're your friends.
That's true.
How you doing, bro?
Bro, I had a good day at work.
Wow.
I'm doing well, but what I want to know is how are you?
I'm wonderful, man.
Good.
I am.
How was your day at work?
I'm relaxed.
Tyler was off today.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. It was productive, though.
That's good.
It was a productive day.
I know one thing you did was productive, but we'll go into that later.
Yeah.
Not later in this episode, so don't be yelling at me, people. We're not talking about now.
Right.
Like later, you know. So anyway.
Oh, man.
We're gonna be sharing our thoughts on a little film called Soul.
Soul? Wow.
Wow. I have some thoughts that I'd like to
share. I do, too.
Which is why we're here.
The frequent thoughts that they are, we decided to share.
Right.
Infrequent.
Ugh. Right.
See?
No confusion. You were right. So we're going to get into those. In fact, we're going to do that right now because we don't have a segment. We don't have Drop the Bible. We're just going to talk about some thoughts.
Let's do it.
All right. So here we go. So we're talking about Soul, which is a movie that was released in the U.S. on December 25th of last year. So it was like a little Christmas present.
I remember that.
Yeah. I didn't watch it on the day of, but I think we watched it like the day after.
Yeah,
me
same.
And Sarah did.
Same.
It was released as a Disney Plus original, which was the first feature-length Pixar film to be done as such. It was originally intended for a theatrical release, but then a little thing called COVID happened. Yeah, coronavirus happened. This was a movie directed by Pete Docter, and it stars Jamie Foxx as Joe and Tina Fey as 22. These are the two main characters of the movie. And fun fact, and this makes a lot of sense, Pete Docter also directed Inside Out.
So he's all about stuff.
Yeah, he's all about here's this film that's about like what's like just daily life,
mind.
And then let's go to before you got here and after you die.
You're right.
So that makes a lot of sense. And I'm going to just start this off with an opinion.
Go for it.
I think this is a movie that will be enjoyed more so by adults than kids.
I agree with that statement.
I think the kids will still enjoy it. One, it's beautiful.
It's like
the animation, the colors,
the music,
the way it looks, and there's some funny stuff in it.
Oh yeah.
But for like the overall like tone and message of the film, I'm like, man, this really isn't like a child's movie.
Yeah. No, they definitely have references that like would definitely go over my head as a kid.
Yeah.
Whether it be jokes or the thematic elements in general, like I was like, I can't believe they're like doing this in a movie that's geared towards children. Like, I can't believe that they're...
Well, see, that's the thing, though, is I'm not so sure. I don't think this movie is geared towards children. And don't get me wrong, if you haven't seen it, by the way, there's going to be spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
No. So, like, if you haven't seen it and you want to...
Turn it off now.
Yeah, now would be a good time to turn it off. But
sorry.
But do come back.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Once you watch it, please feel free to come back and listen.
So when I say that, it's not that it's a bad movie, because it's not.
Oh, no.
But it is not. I wouldn't say this one was written with children in mind. I would say this one is like...
You think?
I really do. Because if you think about it, and really, I guess just getting into the spoilers, there's kind of a part of the movie that seems to call this out.
Yeah.
And it's where Joe, he's a music teacher.
Uh-huh.
And he's teaching jazz, from what I remember. I've only seen the movie once. Tyler just finished watching it like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, I had to skip through some parts.
Yeah, but he's kind of going into some of the stuff that the movie is going to ultimately be about.
Yeah.
And then it shows the class being like, I don't get it. And I think that that's on purpose. I think that that's them saying like, this is the experience you're in for. You adults are going to get this, but then the kids are going to be like, yeah, but it looks cool, you know? So.
Well, and to their credit, a lot of kids' movies were like that.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I go back and rewatch them, I'm like, wow, I didn't even realize this movie was like this or about this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't grasp the full heaviness of the situation. Like, I just watched, enjoyed the colors and the ha-ha moments, and that's it.
But what I'm thinking of is, like, as an adult, if you were to go back and watch Toy Story 1.
Right.
And then fast forward to Soul.
Yeah.
These are two different types of movies. Toy Story 1 is like, hey, what if toys could talk? Whereas,
well, you could say the same argument about Inside Out, though, as well, because they tackle like a lot of like the negative emotions that people deal with, you know?
I would say the same thing about Inside Out, that it's not necessarily a child's movie. Like, but again, there's like the cool characters, the there's Bing Bong or whatever his name is.
I think they're family-friendly movies for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But the reason why I still think that they're geared towards children is because, yes, these are heavier topics that adults deal with on a daily basis and that they would grasp more so than a child would. But I think that these movies are introductions to those real world situations. Now, not that you want to introduce a child to people that deal with anxiety and depression and trying to find their purpose in life and stuff like that. But like an understanding that there are negative things that go on that you may experience. Here's a cartoon representation of what could be happening.
Yeah. And meanwhile, mom and dad's in the background going, oh, I feel that.
Right. Like same.
That, yeah. That's, same, Riley. That's my life. You'll get there, son. Don't worry.
For me, the first time I watched it, I don't know if I just couldn't get it, like if I just wasn't paying attention that much or if I was just a little stew, but I couldn't like fully grasp everything. Like I thought that they left a lot of open-ended stuff.
Really?
Like, well, again, I probably wasn't really paying attention. I was probably on my phone or something.
It's true.
But like 22, they didn't show her going, like they didn't show her going to her body or anything like that. They didn't say what her quote unquote spark was, which after my third time of watching it, I realized now that apparently your spark is your basically desire to live in general.
Yeah.
Which I did not grasp. I thought the spark was, I was in Joe's mindset of like, okay, here's the thing that causes your spark.
The single thing.
Right. The single thing. Like this is what it is. Whereas it's the actual, those things, yes, but like the experience of living and like being alive and being able to experience those things is what causes your quote unquote spark.
Yeah. And I agree with that because like with 22, she makes a comment of like, wow, look, just walking, like walking is great.
Exactly.
And it's not saying that like walking is going to be her spark, but it's like, just like you said, just living, just being here, being alive. And then there's the whole barbershop scene where really the whole movie could be condensed down to everything that is said in that barbershop scene.
Yeah.
So where it's like, man, I'm just glad to be here. Right. You know, like this is great. You know, the food smells good. But see, she had never had that before.
What got me was afterwards, after the whole ordeal had happened and Joe was sitting in his house by himself, looking at all the things that 22 had left behind when she was in his body, like the half-eaten bagel, the thimble, all the stuff that, the little minor stuff that she had held on to that signified something because it was new experiences that she had had in her life. And even though we don't, unless we're hoarders, we don't hold on to every little thing like that, but it makes you think about stuff that we do take for granted, you know, like being able to come here after a day of work and like me and you record this, you know, like we do it every week.
Right.
And I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes I'm just like, okay, we're going to record, but like, it's a great thing to be able to do this. We have the technology to be able to do this.
Yeah.
We have a platform to where we can voice our thoughts on things.
You it's have just, a pink hat.
Exactly. Like all of these things. Like, it's just like, you know,
life is good.
Yeah.
You know, despite everything, it's like,
exactly,
we get to do this.
Exactly.
Because I mean, really, and like, I know, like you said, at this point, it's kind of just become like, okay, we're recording.
Yeah.
But like my mindset on it is like, really, I get to do this.
Exactly.
We can nuke this at any time. We can just be like,
100%.
Not only are we not doing it anymore, I'm about to delete the whole thing off the face of the earth.
Yep.
You know? But it's like, I don't want to do that.
We're not going to do
that. No, we're not going to do that. Unless. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
No, but it's like, man, I like you said, we get to, life is good. You know, we've been blessed. And it's like, we have hard things. Like, let's do a podcast on that. You know, like we've had some really terrible things happen. But the Lord is good and he takes care of us. And that's, I'm going to get into that later in the episode. This episode, listener, not like, you know what I'm saying? I will get into it later in this episode of some things that the movie made me think about just personally. But I want to ask you, in your opinion, at any point in the movie, did it ever get like preachy to you at all?
No, I'm going to say no.
I agree with that.
Because, like, we've seen and we've talked about movies that did get preachy.
Wall-E.
Right. Well, I wasn't going to call them out like that.
Wall-E.
Wall-E.
But, yeah, I don't feel like it was preachy. I feel like it was very thought-provoking.
Absolutely.
And depending on where your mindset was, it could be detrimental.
No, that's true.
Well, I watched it with somebody. Really? Yeah, like, I watched with somebody who was like, I am having an existential crisis.
Yeah.
like what is my purpose in life? Like, yeah. Especially with a guy that was a lost soul, yeah. And then all of a sudden, like his soul is tethered back to his body. He's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And then basically trashes his workplace.
Yeah, that was something.
That reaction was a little much.
Just a little exaggerated.
That first part was like, okay.
That was for the kids.
Right, exactly. But that part, just stuff like that made you think about the overall theme of the movie. You know, like, I don't think it was preachy at all. I think it was just very thought-provoking.
I agree with that. And like I said, I'm going to get into that deeper. I thought that, you know, and this is one thing I found kind of interesting. I thought when I first watched the movie that, wow, this is one of the first, like one of the only films or only examples that I can think of where the lead character dies.
Yeah.
But apparently he doesn't die. Well, apparently he's in a coma.
Now he dies.
Sources say that he's in a coma.
Well, why is his soul knocked out of his body?
That's what confused me. Is I'm like, friend, are y'all just saying that because he's the lead man?
Just saying that because
it's pretty clear that he dies.
Right, exactly. Because even the old lady, the old soul that he meets at first, is like, oh, it must have been sudden for you. Yeah, because he died.
Right, because he fell down a manhole,
and everybody and all the people up there were like, it's your time, Joe. Like, that's why the Terry guy came chasing after him.
Well, even on like, and I agree. I think it's very like. Pretty clear that he dies. But
I think the reason they think he's in a coma is because they had found his body and put him in the hospital and had the monitor on him. The only reason it didn't flatline is because he hadn't gone to the great beyond.
Right. And what was weird to me, though, is when he's playing the piano in his house and he gets in the zone.
Yeah.
Does he die playing the piano?
No, I think at that point he's aware of the zone.
So he just knows how to get back
there. Yeah, because just like Moonwind, twirling the signs and stuff, he's not dead. He's just in the zone.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So you're smarter than me because you have pink hat.
I'm hiding all my knowledge up here.
Good. Thank you. Otherwise, I'll be very intimidated.
Right.
But those are good points, though. I forgot about the other guy with the sign.
Yeah. I actually really liked that aspect about the movie.
Yeah.
I liked the zone area because I don't say I go into a zone, but I can definitely understand that trance-like state that you're in whenever you're like, you're playing or singing. Or,
well, what I thought of is there's a reason they named it the zone.
Right.
Because we go into.
You're in the zone.
Yeah, you're in the zone.
Exactly. You know? Like I think, well, they even demonstrated that you can be just doing just about anything that you're passionate about and you be in the zone.
That's true.
You know, like they had sports and stuff like that.
I'm going to tell y'all right now, that man died. Very Looney Tunes-esque, by the way, because he's leaving, like he's on this phone call and he's dodging all these things.
Oh, you're talking
like,
about Joe.
Yeah, yeah. sorry, I should have clarified that. But anyway, he's dodging all these near-death experiences. He's like, huh, that was close, and then just falls down a manhole. Like,
I wish they wouldn't have shown that in the trailer.
Same.
I just, I get it. Like, that's the beginning of the movie, and then they had to have some way to advertise what was going on, but, like, that part alone is, okay.
Yeah.
Like, whenever it was happening, there wasn't any suspense, because I knew it was about to happen.
It was coming, yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been better if they would have been, like, in the trailer, okay, we're just going to show you that this is a soul, but we're not going to show you how he dies.
Or even who it was.
Or who he was, yeah.
Yeah, like they could have just showed a soul, and then when they introduced this character at the beginning, then we wouldn't have known that was going to be the soul that we were interacted with. Or maybe it was going to fast forward to the future. I don't know. But they showed his death.
They do that, man. I don't like that at all.
I actually told myself that this year, that I was going to try to stop watching trailers for stuff that I was going to
might as well
watch or buy or stuff. Because they show so much.
You should either watch the trailer or watch the movie, but you should not do both.
Right, exactly. Well, even like whenever I was watching superhero movies and stuff like that, like it showed the end fight scenes, or like the part where the battle starts to turn, and I'm like, why are you showing this?
Right, I know now what's coming.
Right, exactly. Like now it's not going to be that big of a deal when it happens. Like I'm just going to be waiting for it. At some point in this movie, this is going to happen.
Professionals,
boo. Right?
Boo.
So I have a question for you.
I hopefully have an answer.
How do you feel that they handled the before and after life aspects?
So that was one thing that I found very interesting whenever I first watched it, because the whole before life thing, that brought me back to my childhood, because I remember being very, very young and asking Mama, like, where did I, like, what was I before I was here? And she would say, well, before you were born, you were with Jesus. And I accepted that. Like, I used to be in heaven, now I'm here, and one day I'll go back. That's just what I thought, you know? So whenever I saw the great before, I immediately thought of that, like, that's that concept, you know? I used to be, you know, before there. And so I found that kind of humorous, you know? As far as the afterlife, I mean, obviously, it's a movie, and it's you shouldn't base your doctrine.
Well, and that was what I was going to say, was that they were very, like, because they didn't say that there wasn't a heaven.
Yeah.
They didn't say
that they strongly implied that there was.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. They didn't say what the great beyond was.
Yeah.
They just, there's the great beyond, and that's where you go.
Yeah.
That could be heaven. But they, regardless, they were very respectful towards religion in general. Whether it be Christianity or not, like, they didn't say anything about any kind of religion, but they didn't do science or anything like that. They just said, here's the great before, here's the great beyond. Boom.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think the reason for that, in my opinion, is that really the movie isn't about that anyway.
Exactly.
It's not, that's not the focal point of, well, what happens when you die? It's more so, to me, like, what happened while you lived.
Exactly. You know? I agree with that.
So I think that they handled that. For what it is, they handled it really, really well.
I agree. That's one of the main reasons I wanted to bring it up, because I was just very impressed when I saw it. Because whenever I saw the trailer, I was like, how are they going to handle a movie about death? I thought the same
thing. Yeah, yeah.
And so when I watched it, I was kind of apprehensive. But the fact that they were just like, they were very respectful. They didn't get preachy about anything.
Right.
Like, that was, I really appreciated that.
How did you feel about the whole badge idea, like how they went into the exposition of explaining the badges?
I wish they would have went into more detail on it, honestly.
Yeah,
because there was multiple slots on there,
right?
Like, and they only went over a couple parts of, like, the personality and then the spark.
Yeah,
but it was just like, it was very vague, you know. And I understand to an extent why they did that, but
you don't want to dwell on it too long. But they could have done it a little bit longer. They also
made it a big plot device with Joe trying to get the badge completed, and it's like,
yeah,
what did the rest of her badge consist of? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I wish they would have gone into more detail on the badge.
Yeah, I feel that.
This is me, personally. Yeah.
I agree.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, in your opinion, and this is kind of a silly question.
Okay.
Could Moonwind, the hippie sign spinner, could he understand Joe when he was in the body of the cat? Because he was like, that's my body, blah, 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 blah. I'm not in there. And he was just like, you're in a cat?
I think so.
Why?
I don't know. I think that he was like not fully human. Like, he, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was here, but he wasn't here.
Right.
You know?
He was like halfway.
He may have been under the influence of something. Like, right. I don't, and it probably, as Rusty said, probably not a holy substance.
Right. Lord.
But I don't know. I think,
well,
I think
nobody else understood him.
I think the implication is, yes, he can understand the cat.
Yeah. You know? I guess because, but I don't know.
I don't have a reason.
I don't know.
Maybe it's the same way that you can understand Mochi.
I can't understand Mochi.
Oh, you can't understand Mochi? No, I got it. He talks to me all the time.
Oh, wow. Maybe you can relay the message for me.
Oh, I have some for you.
Well, I have some for him.
No confusion here.
Right. Yeah, that was a very weird situation. There were some things that there was one thing that contradicted itself that I kind of was like,
ooh, let's talk about that. What was it?
It wasn't a big detail, but it was just a little nuisance of mine. She, whenever she was in Joe's body, then, like, right when she woke up, 22, they were talking about where Moonwind was, and they're like, he's at the corner of 14th and 7th or something like that. And she was like, yeah, that's by Blase Blase. And she listed off the landmark. And he's like, how do you know that? She goes, it's all in this brain of yours.
Oh, yeah.
But then later in the movie, he would say something. Oh, it was about Dez, or the barbershop guy.
Yeah.
And she was like, who's that?
That's true.
He knows. It's in his brain.
He knows, like, who that is.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Or could it be, and hear me out with this. Mm-hmm. So there comes a point in time in the movie where 22 in Joe's body inquires about, what's his name?
I think it's Dez.
Dez. Yeah. He's Dez today.
right. The barber.
Right. The barber. She inquires about his family or something like that and provides the answer.
Right.
And she says something like, well, why didn't you ever say that before? And he says, well, you never asked.
Yeah.
And he wasn't being like mean about it. He was just like, well, you never asked, you know?
Yeah.
What if they were sending like a subliminal message there of like, he's went in there all this time, but he really doesn't know Dez. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's aware of him.
He's not at the forefront of his mind.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where, like, even though she should technically, based on the previous logic, have a memory of him, Dez really hasn't been that much to Joe.
She didn't go digging for that memory.
Maybe she was just like, well.
She only had the surface level knowledge, maybe.
Perhaps. Yeah. That's just a thought, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe the location that she previously mentioned
was somewhere that he goes often.
And was more important
than.
Oof. Than Dez.
Ooh-wee.
Because stuff like that is like in this movie.
Well, and that's that might as well tie into this next part, because Joe, one of his least favorite qualities of mine was the you like music because I like music and you're in my body right now.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the type of person that feels like they own an area of interest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't like this because I like it, kind of thing. Like, I'm different. Like, I'm built different because I like this. Like, you can't like it. And even if you do like it, I liked it first a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I
like it more.
Okay. Right. Like, So whenever Joe was displaying those emotions and traits, it made me.
It triggered you a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. It also made me kind of like check myself, you know, which I've, over the past year, and even through this podcast, I've developed an interest in a lot of different areas. And it's like, cultivated into one Tyler.
One Tyler.
Right, and one Tyler who wears a pink hat.
Yes, absolutely. Gotta have the pink hat.
But he was just like, you only like it because you're in my body. And I'm just like, friend, other people can like music. And that's not what she was even referencing.
Right.
Like, it just, that triggered me a little bit.
Yeah. I tend to steer away from stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, just example the other day is like, look, friend, If I don't think of something first, but then you think of it and I'm inspired by that, I'm probably, you know, this is the example I'm getting to. Somebody that I see regularly had a ringtone, the text tone that was Yoshi. Like the ba-dow, when the sound he makes whenever, ba-dow. Whenever he eats someone.
Yeah. Or something.
Yeah. And I heard it and I was like, it made me instantly happy. Yeah. I was like, that's so cool and a great idea for a text tone. Mm-hmm. I went and got it because why not? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't do it to copy you, to be like you, but you gave me an idea.
I feel like that. I agree
you
with
know?
That.
It's like, that is not like your
you
text
don't own that text.
So it's like, oh, I like it. So I'm not going to put it on my phone because you have it.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Boo.
Boo. So yeah, anyway, stuff like that, no bueno. Don't be like that.
Exactly. Yeah, please do not. So another thing I wanted to kind of bring up that was kind of weird. Surely Joe can't be the only person that died that didn't want to die. Because we're already in agreement that he died.
Yeah, that man died.
Yeah, he passed away that day.
Yeah, multiple times.
Right. He can't be the only person that has not wanted to die.
Right.
It seems as though he's the only one who's fought, or at least fought that hard, to get back to the great before. But it would seem to me that, like, surely he can't be. You know?
I think him getting to the great before was an accident.
Well,
I think he.
But it
just,
was a. It was that, like.
He fell off, right?
He pushed himself off, like, through that little barrier. But that's what I'm saying is, like, he reacted how any person would who didn't want to die.
That's true.
That's what was happening. So why was everybody so surprised and acting like he was the first one who was out in the streets doing this stuff?
Especially the little accountant dude.
Right.
He was annoying.
You were that was the first guy who didn't want to die.
Probably not.
Exactly. Yeah. So why weren't there policies and procedures in place for this?
I wish they would have addressed that, but at the same time.
It's also a movie.
Well, but it's a movie about Joe.
Right. Boo. So,
and I don't know, because like I said, I've only seen it one time. Maybe there is some sort of reference of like last time this happened or something like that that we missed.
Well, that's all that they got to say. It was a very easily fixable situation. Like, that's why we put up the barriers.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe he just somehow got through it because he didn't want to die even more. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, just some little comment like that, because it makes it sound like
some acknowledgement.
Exactly. Because it makes me feel like you're not acknowledging the fact that
multiple people don't want to die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
It is weird, but
hello.
I'm willing to overlook it.
And then who's counting the things while Terry's out looking for these people?
That's another thing. Perhaps Jerry. Because like everyone is named Jerry,
right? Except for Terry.
Yeah, except for Terry, which is so funny that he's got his own name. Right. And everyone else is Jerry.
Terrible.
Oh, okay. I wasn't counting on you to make that pun, but you did. Oh, I'm sad. So, in your opinion, like, to you, what was the overall message of the movie?
I think it was to appreciate life, just appreciate life in your life.
Yeah,
in
appreciate
general.
Life.
Like the all the different aspects of it. Just kind of take a second to stop. And literally just like smell the roses, you know,
walk down the street.
Right. Like, don't take your smell and taste for granted, especially nowadays.
Right. Wow. You tied that in, didn't you?
Exactly. So, I mean, like, that's what I think the overall message was, is just be appreciative of the life you got, because you only got one.
Did you know?
YOLO.
We do not support YOLO.
I know.
whenever they fell down, whenever 22 and Joe fell down, mm-hmm. and they woke up in the hospital. Did you know what was about to happen?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
You knew, like, in what order the old switcheroo was going to happen?
Yeah. It was, why would they bring both of them down if...
It was a surprise for me.
Really?
And I don't know, really, like, looking back, I don't know how to feel about that.
Well, the alternative is her going into the cat's body.
Right.
He wouldn't care about that.
But the thing is, I thought where they were going is, oh, he's going to be awake in his body, but her first time living is going to be in a cat, and he's not going to want that. He's going to be like,
Joe is self-absorbed.
That's pretty true.
And then the other thing I thought maybe could have happened while I was processing this as it was happening, I was like, maybe they both end up in the body somehow, and like they're like fighting for consciousness, and that maybe somehow.
That would have been interesting.
Right.
Probably a little disturbing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That would have been a whole different.
And the voicing would have been complicated and hilarious.
Well, you say that, but then I'm taken back to the scene where he talks to his mom.
Yeah.
And it's switching back and forth between his and her voice and stuff. And I was like,
that was pretty cool.
That was a very good scene.
The I heard, now, I saw this on the internet, so mm-hmm. maybe it's wrong, but I saw that the reason they went with Tina Fey, or one of the main reasons they went with Tina Fey for this character, is because the point of her voice was to be annoying.
Oh.
Like, people don't like people who like...
Well, they made a comment about that in the movie itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was just like, I can sound like this, or I can even sound like you. And
that's
changed
probably
her voice and stuff like that.
That's true.
And she goes, I picked this voice because it annoys people.
That's funny. That's so funny.
I love her voice.
I didn't have a problem with her voice.
Yeah,
I think
it's great.
If anything, if there's something annoying, it's not your voice. There's a lot of other annoying things on here as I peek over at Terry.
Right.
What you got over there, brother? I see you.
I'm looking. I'm trying to get myself
organized. I see you looking.
I see you looking. So the other thing that I was thinking about on here, oh, I know what it was. It was the story that Dorothea told right after he got his body back and he went to go play at the jazz club after basically demanding to play.
Right.
After she had seen him act all kinds of fool. But he was talking to her, and she was telling the story about a fish that she said this fish went, and I'm definitely paraphrasing. She said this fish went up to this older fish, and he just goes, "I'm looking for this thing called the ocean." He's like, "The ocean? Well, you're swimming in it." And the younger fish goes, "This? Well, this is water." And that's kind of where she leaves it at.
Yeah.
But it's to imply that, like, he was looking for this great big thing that he had such high expectations for, only to find out that either A, he was in it all along, or that B, when he finally got here, that it wasn't anything that he expected it to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that was like a whole nother layer of the movie to me that was kind of like, oh, because Joe wanted to come back because he felt like his life was finally going to turn around. He was finally going to go and get to play his big break.
He's like, yeah, his big break. I can't die now. It's my big break.
Exactly. And then he played it and he's just like, now what?
Right.
You know?
And then they were like, okay, see you tomorrow.
Right. Do it again tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. That added a whole other depth to it. Like, that to me stuck out more so than the enjoying life thing, because that's something I've been personally trying to do, is to just enjoy life, like different aspects of my life in general. But the whole expectation, the thing that, like, you're like, we're looking for this one thing, mm-hmm. like whether it be a big purchase we want to make, or like, wow, I can't wait till we get this job or this promotion and blah, 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 blah. And like, we end up either disappointed or like moving on to the next thing after that, you know?
Right.
And it just, is it worth it when we've squandered this whole time that we've, like, the process, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Brother Brian's even preached about that recently, if I'm not mistaken,
he
in
has.
Regards to trust in the process.
Trust the process.
Yeah.
Trust the process.
Right.
Sorry.
I don't know. I really enjoyed that story, and it just added a whole other depth to it.
Well, it kind of, and now I'm going to get into sort of the meat of like what it did for me mm-hmm. and made me think about and feel. So there comes a point in the movie where 22 is showing Joe like basically what amounts to memories of life.
Yeah.
Like, there was memories of him doing this and memories of right. him doing that. And he's like looking at it really from the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just him. It was like everybody's life, you know, had all these different, you know what scene I'm talking about?
Well, are you talking about where it started with the Dr. Bjorn Borgen scene or whatever? And then he's like, this is not my life. And then he switched over to his life.
I think
life.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it showed all it showed, of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, it reminded me of something that kind of started with me back whenever I was working with hospice for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I would visit a lot of people who at this stage in life, they really can't do a whole lot more than what they're doing. And I cannot tell you about the conversations I had where people would be like, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. I think I even talked about that a little bit on our first New Year's personal goals episode, where I said, you know, I really want to start shooting archery again.
Yeah.
Because I know I don't want to have any more I used to's.
Right.
And so something that started when I was in hospice is like, man, I really don't want to be, if the Lord tarries, mm-hmm. I don't want to be at this age of this person that I'm visiting with, and all I can think about is what I wish I could have done.
Yeah.
But now that I want to do those things,
yeah.
I can't.
Exactly.
And so, it really made me think about really that same thing, is like, when I get old, if the Lord tarries, I don't want to look back and regret the life that I lived.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And so if I were to see those snapshots, like when I get to that point,
yeah,
if I see those clips, those snapshots of life that, you know, quote unquote, make me who I am.
Yeah.
I want to be able to be proud of those.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to cherish those moments, and I want to be able to smile about those moments.
100%.
So it ultimately raised like this awareness where I was like, am I currently living that kind of life?
Yeah.
Am I currently living a life where, like, okay, if the Lord allows me the opportunity to just look back over everything, am I going to feel regret?
Yeah.
Or am I going to be like happy that I did that? Happy that I,
yeah.
You know, like, so we recently took a trip.
Yeah.
And
we'll get into it in the future,
but it did not go as planned.
Right.
But looking back on it today, I have no regrets. Like, it turned into like a beautiful thing.
It was a great day.
So that's the kind of stuff I want more of. You know, we made the best out of a pretty bad situation. I mean, it wasn't terrible. Don't get me wrong, but it was less than ideal.
Right.
Very unfortunate, but very unfortunate. There's a teaser for you. I don't know, man. It made me, because honestly, I haven't been in hospice for a while, and you do sort of forget about those kind of things.
Right.
But when I watched this movie, I was like, you know, especially here at the end of this year, you know, at the end of 2020, Christmas 2020, what am I going to do next year? You know, am I going to live a life that I can look back on and be pleased with? And most importantly, live a life that the Lord would be pleased with?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to make it to the ripe old age of whatever and be like,
wow, I wish I could have done this.
Yeah, I did. Made a lot of podcasts, but really didn't do a whole lot of anything else. You know, right. It's like, I don't want to do that. And it just made me think about that. It made me reflect on that.
No, I agree. I'm in the same boat because that's one reason why I am so willing to do a lot of different things, is because I do want, like, the only way for me to find out if I like something is for me to just, is to try it. You know? So, and honestly, disc golf started that for me. Like I did not want to try it, and then I tried it. I liked it. And now, like, I went and bought a disc today, you know, because I really enjoyed it. I wanted a new disc. I wanted to have a plethora of discs so I could have friends play with me. And several of those disc golf trips have been with really good friends, and we've had really good experiences, really good talks, you know, like, and looking back, if I hadn't have done it, even if it was reluctantly that first time, like, I wouldn't have had those experiences that I had with the friends that I've had over the past year.
Yeah.
You know? So I definitely agree with that sentiment, and it's definitely something that I personally try to, like, think about going forward, you know, because we're human. We've done things that we're obviously going to regret. I don't think there's one person that doesn't have a single regret.
Sure. Yeah.
And like, I wish I couldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yes, we learn and we grow from our experiences, but it's not like we enjoyed what happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, everyone has those moments, but to live a life like that, to live a regrettable life where you're just living this existence that's your, I don't want that.
Same.
And I think, you know, I've had a couple of years that were like that, but I wouldn't say that at this point that my life has been like that. And I'm thankful for that.
No.
Especially
when you do take the other aspects of the movie in account and just appreciate the smaller things, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, you don't want to live a regrettable life, but you also don't have to have this big, grand life either, full of fame and fortune and all this other stuff.
Right.
Which fortune would be pretty nice.
It would be nice.
But we don't have to have all that stuff to have a life that we don't regret, you know? And so I think there's that, I think the movie lets you weigh out both of those, is that yes, don't live a life that you're going to regret, but also, like, be content with where you're at, you know? Like, you always want to strive for better, but don't focus so much on that you miss where you're at right now.
I agree. And I think there's so many layers to this movie.
Oh yeah.
There's so many things where, like, you could just take this message from it the first time you watch it, this one the next time. I feel like that another thing that it kind of touches on is, just because you try your very best doesn't mean that you're always going to get what you want.
Right.
You know, and like Joe, I keep wanting to call him Joel. I just want to acknowledge that. I keep wanting to say Joel, but it's not Joel. It's Joe.
Yeah.
Good old Joe. He wanted to be this jazz musician that basically, you know, you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
But his mama was like,
nope.
No, I want you to have a steady job.
And right.
You need to have good income. You need to have these benefits. You need to, she's looking out for him.
Yeah.
And he ultimately winds up being a music teacher at a school.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought about that too. Like, well, really? He's still getting to do what he likes to do. He's teaching music. Yeah. He gets to perform periodically.
Mm-hmm.
He could see it as he's investing into the future, like the you know, the kids of the musicians of tomorrow,
but
if you will.
But he didn't see it that way.
Right, and that's
what
I'm saying.
He wanted to be full-on musician performing all the time.
Right, but then when he got there,
he's like, oh.
It's
hello.
It's not as fulfilling as I thought.
Right, exactly.
And it's like, I put forth all this work, all this, you know, just the grind.
I fought death for this.
Yeah, exactly. I literally came back from the dead. and this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I think there's another message there that they probably didn't intend. And I'll just throw this out there, that true fulfillment can only be found in Jesus.
Ooh,
hey. You can literally come back from the dead and get your dream job and not have fulfillment if Jesus is not in it.
Come on,
so somebody. I just want to throw that out there one time. Just, that was free. I'm not even going to take up an offering for that. So
actually, we might hit us up on Patreon.
If Tyler wants to, he can. I'm not.
Our Patreon is in the link below.
But yeah, man, it had a lot. There's a lot to this movie. I really want to watch it again, and intended to do so before this episode.
Yeah,
but I didn't. I literally didn't have time.
It worked. It'd be like that.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Overall, I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. It's not something that I would just watch casually or regularly, even for that matter, because it is such a. In my opinion, a deeper movie.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy it. Now, did you have any moments in general, like moving away from the deeper stuff? Like, what were some of your favorite parts of the movie?
Some of my favorite parts were...
Even if it was just like the punchlines, like for jokes and stuff.
Well, whenever I think it's 22 is in Joe's body. And he introduces her to food for the first time. And it's pizza. And I was like, man, I could eat that pizza right now. Like, please, you know?
Look, I have messaged you earlier today about pizza.
Yeah, you did.
It was during that part.
Was it?
It was.
Oh, you big.
100%.
You large.
I was like, I want pizza. I want pizza right now.
Bro, I'm going to be honest with you. If it wasn't for dinner already being established,
I would.
But fear not. Soon.
In the near future.
In the very near future, we will have pizza.
One of my favorite parts. Ooh, I remember the first time I watched it. I almost fell off the couch. It was whenever Joe first dies. And
the first time.
Right. And he's talking to those older souls and stuff, or those different souls. And they're like... like, okay, bye. And then they just float towards the great beyond.
Yeah.
And then it does the bug zapper noise. The
Oh, no. I missed that. That's terrible.
You didn't notice that?
No. That's terrible.
Like, they turn into like little orbs. They float towards the great beyond. And then it goes.
That's terrible.
Oh, I was watching it.
Oh,
I was rolling.
I bet you were. That's messed up.
He goes, what was that? And he starts freaking out and starts running.
Oh, no. Oh, that what an unfortunate thing. That is funny, though.
That's one of my favorite parts.
Well, another one of my favorites was, again, it involves the cat because Link was watching it with me. And he loved the cat
really
being on the screen. Like, I have a picture of him just like sitting there and looking at it. But it was whenever they were getting out of the hospital. And there was a lot of, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, that was funny. And then, do you have any more like your favorite parts?
Well, the introduction of Dorothea, the scene started and she was just playing and going off, going ham. And I was just like, I want to do that.
Bro, that would be amazing. You and Brother Dobbs.
Oh man, I would be too nervous to play with.
Oh no, you got to do it.
Oh man,
you got
to
do it.
I would have to be like,
I'll be
significantly better than I am right now.
Well, I mean that's fair, but you will get to that point.
If I do get to that point,
he would love it.
I would love to do that. That'd be so fun.
He would love it as well. Like that would be great.
That would be fun. That'd be fun. Did you have another favorite part?
No, I just wanted to, because we are who we are, I wanted to just sort of talk about and get your thoughts on the animation.
I really liked it.
It was really good.
Especially like whenever he went from the great beyond to the great before, that transition and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the contrast and the animation and stuff was really, really, really nice.
Well, and there were some moments where it almost looked like live action to me, you know?
And then
there's the shots where like he's playing the keys and stuff and they show his fingers and it's like accurate to the music.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we watched that Frozen thing. And it's like the time and the talent it took. I don't know. Yeah. It just seems like every time they come out with like a major release like this, it gets better and better. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder like, what are these things going to look like in like 5 years?
Yeah.
You know, how?
For sure.
What are you going to do?
I would love to see behind the scenes for that one as well.
I would too. That'd be great.
It was just, there was a lot of really cool realistic aspects in there, like with music and stuff like that. It was just really, really cool.
So overall, what would you give it? Like if we were given a score, like 1 being garbage, 10 being fantastic.
Okay. A 7?
You can give it a 7.
I'd give it a 7.
A 7 is strong.
A good 7. I only say that because I like it is such a heavy movie.
Yeah.
And the rewatchability is not there.
I could see it not being as good the first time. I mean the second time.
Yeah. And it definitely gets harder to watch as you watch, not because it's just not like it's not like, oh wow, this was a hilarious movie.
It's not like
can't
I want
to watch it.
It's
again.
Not like
it's a good movie. It's just not one made for casual viewing.
Right. It's not. I don't think it's meant to be like enjoyed over and over
right.
again. Like you learn your lesson, you take what you get from it.
Exactly. It's a lesson movie. Like
yeah.
it's a movie that you learn something from it.
Yeah.
And you go on about your business,
which is really unfortunate in a way because it's so beautiful. Like,
it really
looks great.
Yeah.
And like New York and like New York and I think it's in like fall.
Yeah.
The colors.
It looks great. It really does.
So,
but because of its lack of rewatchability, that's why I would put it a 7.
I would give it an 8.
Okay.
Because the first time I watched it, which again, currently is the only time, I enjoyed it so much.
I feel that.
You know? So really for me, the only experience I have with it is that one time I've watched it.
Yeah.
So for me, I would say a strong, respectable 8.
Listeners, let us know what you think. Our Instagram is going to be in the link in the description below.
Feel free to reach out to us.
Do that.
You know, we like to hear from you.
We love to interact.
We like to hear what you think. We like to hear what you know.
Give us your thoughts.
Yes, because we like to hear those. This has been another episode of The Table. It's a family-friendly podcast that we upload weekly for your amusement. If you like that, head over to Instagram, give us a follow at ThatTablePod. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and share this podcast with your friends and your family. If you'd like to learn more about other ways you can support the show, take a moment to check out the description where you'll find a short list provided for your convenience. We thank you so much for hanging out with us again today. It's been our pleasure to serve you. And as always, until next time,
be blessed.